Tom alone.
I don't suppose there's anyone for whom we have greater admiration and respect than this man whom the Lord has used in many ways for some over 30 years as he's pastored the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, president of the Midwestern Baptist College. He's held many evangelistic campaigns and Bible conferences, an author of many books. We're grateful for his association with Bob Jones University as a graduate, also an honorary alumnus, and a member of the Board of Trustees. And I'm sure that we're going to be much in prayer for this man whom God has sent to us this week, that our hearts may be enriched, that we might realize the great burden that we have for those that are lost and need to find Christ. We're so glad that he could be with us, and we're glad to have Mrs. Malone, and I'd like to ask her to stand, please. She's up here. Glad to have you with us today also. Dr. Malone, we thank the Lord for you, and may God bless you.
I'm certainly mighty happy to be here and trusting the Lord will bless the minister of his word on this all-important matter and important subject of getting people saved. I'm sure you're interested in that. A tremendous emphasis is given to that particular subject at Bob Jones College, at Bob Jones University, and always has been emphasized here. We thank God for that. So I do not come today as an expert in this matter of winning souls. Someone has said that an expert is just any old spurt away from home. And though I'm away from home, I'm not an expert. We've seen hundreds and thousands of people saved through the preaching the Word of God and personal witnessing and through the work of an evangelistic soul-winning church. And I want us to see today, out of the Word of God and in the days to come, some tremendous principles involved in the matter of getting people saved. I will be speaking four times, the Lord willing. I will speak to you this morning on the Holy Spirit and soul-winning, and tomorrow morning on the Holy Scriptures and soul-winning, and the following morning on the saint of God and soul-winning, and then the Lord willing on Thursday morning on the Savior and soul-winning. I'll read from the same passage of Scripture each morning from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And may God bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of His truth to our hearts today. I will invite you to turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin reading with verse 26 and read a few verses out of this chapter this morning, and then we'll refer to it, as I said, for each of these four messages, all out of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Beginning of verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Then the intervening verses to the close of the chapter deal with the matter of Philip leading the Ethiopian eunuch to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll be dealing with that passage this week, but let's notice down a little further toward the close of the chapter. In verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found as Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now this morning I want to talk to you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the matter of soul winning. The Holy Spirit's in great evidence in this chapter. I think seven times in the chapter there is a direct reference to the Holy Spirit and his ministry. Two verses that deal with his ministry in the life of this soul winner, Philip, are in verse 29 and verse 39. "And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Then in verse 39, When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, the book of Acts, the whole book of Acts, is a tremendous manual on the subject of soul winning or witnessing. Nearly 36 times in the book of Acts, the word witness, witnesses, witnessed, or witnessing is found in this tremendous book that deals with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in soul winning. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea," and so forth. You come to the close of the book of Acts, practically, in Acts chapter 26, and Paul said, "Having obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both the small and great." Now, the three ways to witness mentioned in the Bible, taught in the Bible: the preaching of the Word of God in public services, the writing of the Holy Scriptures, and in writing the truth of the Word of God and tracts and so forth, and then personal work. And all of those are emphasized in the Word of God. We need to learn about soul winning. In recent days, God has impressed upon my heart, in spite of the fact we're in the midst of seeing literally hundreds of people saved. I mentioned this morning to the preachers in our church in an 8-day period, just recently, I think the last full week of the month of October, there were over 300 people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who made public confessions of faith in Him. Nearly all of these people were led to Christ in personal work by a saved person going out to win that person, to reach that soul for Jesus. We need to learn about soul winning. God has burdened my heart to learn what the Bible teaches about soul winning. I've learned much from good men, learned much from reading good books on the methods and the ministry of soul winning. But the Bible will teach a Christian to be a soul winner. We need to learn about soul winning from Jesus, how Jesus won people, how Paul won people, how Andrew won people, all the methods, all the motives, all the message for soul winning comes from the Bible. And the book of Acts is a tremendous manual on how to get people saved. Now, I think one thing that needs to be emphasized tremendously is that God uses Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled people to get people saved. There are a lot of things that go on in our day and time, meetings, evangelistic meetings, so-called, union meetings, city-wide meetings, and it seems that people are getting saved, and maybe some do. But I believe the Bible lays down some tremendous principles and great forces that are involved in winning people to Christ. And only as God is able to release these tremendous energies in the life of a Christian is God able to make soul winners out of us. One of those tremendous powers and ministries is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. God uses Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled people to get other folks saved. Now, that's emphasized in the book of Acts. Chapter 16 is a tremendous passage. You read in that chapter where Paul and his team wanted to go to a certain place, and they were forbidden to go there. The Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid them to preach the word in Asia. They wanted to go to Asia. The Holy Spirit wanted to control them, empower them, use them. And he said, not to Asia. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach elsewhere. They would wanted to go into Bithynia. But we read they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach of the word of God in Asia and in Bithynia, because they were Spirit controlled. They were not allowed to go where they wanted to go, but where the Spirit of God directed them. Without the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit of God, there is no real, viable, lasting soul winning. And any witness apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God will be unfruitful and ineffective, to say the least. The Bible emphasizes the tremendous ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think the ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer in the matter of witnessing
can be summed up in three tremendous truths. His incoming into your life. When a Christian is saved, the Holy Spirit comes into his heart. Every Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian who does not have in his temple, in his body, the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So every person has the Holy Spirit. There is his incoming, and that takes place when you're saved. There is his uprising, and that takes place when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, which could happen many times and should happen many times to every Christian. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit is the plain command to every Christian, every man, every woman, everyone who owns the name of Christ is commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That's his uprising. But there's more to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus mentioned it in chapter 7 on that last great day, the great day of the feast. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, the scriptures say. And this is the ministry of his outflowing. And that's the ministry I want us to think about this morning. The outflowing ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in order to get people saved. Now the whole book of Acts, much of the Bible in fact, is about the very matter of getting people to hear the word of God and believe and to be saved. Someone has said that a tremendous outline of the book of Acts is given in that great soul-winning verse, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a threefold outline which is executed in witnessing and soul winning in the book of Acts. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea. In the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, the witnessing was in Jerusalem and in Judea. Nothing but Jews saved on the day of Pentecost. Largely for 7 whole chapters, still no one saved in the book of Acts except Jews. But in chapter 8, there begins a ministry to Samaria. That's the second part of the execution of this great commission to evangelize the world to win people to Christ. And from chapters 8 through 12, there's the ministry to what might be called half Jews or Samaritans. And then from chapter 13 to the end of the chapter is the ministry to the Gentiles and to the whole world. Now that commission is given to every Christian, to every Christian organization, every Christian institution is responsible for the execution of the great commission of winning people to Christ. Now Philip was a spirit-filled man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God before he ever set out to be a witness. You read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 that Philip was one of the first deacons elected in the book of Acts, in chapter 6. And the apostle said to the believers, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And Philip was spirit-filled. That's why God was able to use him as a soul winner. Probably the greatest need in soul winning today is to get back to the basics taught in the Bible about how to win souls. And that is, first of all, through the energy and power of the Holy Spirit of God and his filling of the believer. I read recently of a young man who went out and started a church. He was interested, of course, as all Christians ought to be, in getting people saved in that church and reaching the lost through the ministry of that church. Someone said to him, after he started this church in a very tiny little school building, How many did you have last Sunday? He said, we had a house full. We had 48. A little while after that, they said to him, and how's it coming now? He said, last Sunday we had a house full. We had 59. A little while after that, they asked him again, and how many did you have last Sunday? And he said, we had a house full. We had 77. They said to him, now wait just a moment. The first time you said the house was full and you had 48. The second time you said it was full and you had 59. Now you say it was full again and you had 77. He said, explain, if it was full the first time with 48, how could it be full again and have 77? Said, well, you see, after the first time, when we saw we had all that we could get into the building, we began to move out things that ought not to be there, and things we could do without, and things that took up space until we could hold more. I think the need in the lives of Christian people is that everything be moved out of that holy temple of God until the Holy Spirit can be filling our lives. God fills empty vessels. He cannot fill with the fullness of His power when there is that in the temple of God that grieves Him. Until a person is energized by the Holy Spirit of God, he cannot possibly be a soul winner. It's the Holy Spirit who gives direction to the soul winner. I never will forget my first impression of Bob Jones College in 1935 in Cleveland, Tennessee, when I became a member of that student body. I heard young preachers and young ladies, men and women, talking about winning somebody to Christ. I was just a new convert. I knew nothing about it. Now I heard them tell about leading a loved one to Christ during the summer, or leading a friend to Christ, and preaching and people getting saved. It was tremendous, exciting news to me. I went to the room where I'd been assigned and got down on my knees and said, now, Lord, I'm saved. I'm just as saved as they are. But I don't know about this, and I want to do this. And I said that day, if you will lead me, show me someone who needs to be saved, I'll speak to the first person I come to. And I asked the Lord on my knees, God, give me the ministry of the Holy Spirit and lead me to a lost soul. The first one I see, I promise you, I'll do my best to win them to Christ. I walked off of the campus in Cleveland, Tennessee, and down one of the streets leading to the city part of the town. And as I was on my way, there he was. There he stood. Now listen, I thought all the giants were slain in the days of David. But there's the biggest man, really, I think I've ever seen. Great big fellow standing there on the curb with his thumb out, hitchhiking, had some rings around the sweater, and he was a great big athlete. And I said to the Lord, now, Lord, I didn't know he was going to be that big. And the Lord seemed to say to me, I didn't make that bargain. You made it. And there he is. And the closer I got to him, the bigger he looked. And you know, I hadn't learned then that you're supposed to talk about the weather and get his name and all of that. And before I addressed him about the most important thing in the world, and that is being saved. I walked up to him and looked up under his face and said, are you a Christian? And I waited to be completely annihilated. I was sorry that no one knew where to send the remains. And I was afraid I'd be found as an anonymous corpse. But I said, are you a Christian? And he dropped his head upon his chest and began to tremble. And he said, no, I'm not. But I would sure like to be. He said, can you tell me how I can be saved? I said, sure I can. And I told him how to be saved and led him to Christ. And then he told me this story. He said, I left my home down in Georgia this morning. He said, I haven't been saved, but he said, I have a godly mother who's been interested in my soul and has prayed for me. And she said to me as I left this morning, oh, I'm so grieved, son, that you're not a Christian. And I want someone to tell you how to be saved. I've tried, but I want someone to lead you to Christ. She said, I'm going to pray today that somewhere along the road from this, from your home to Knoxville, Tennessee, where he is going, he said, she said, I'm going to pray that the Spirit of God will lead someone to you today that can lead you to Christ. And I stood there and thought how wonderful it is that the Spirit of God, when God can control a life, he leads that person to be a witness and an effective witness and to get people saved. You know, there's a tremendous contrast, actually, in the Scriptures and especially in places in the book of Acts about people being Spirit-controlled. For instance, you read in one chapter, chapter 16, how Paul and Silas went to Philippi, the chief Macedonian city, who cried after them, saying, these men, being the servants of the Most High God, do show unto us the way of salvation. Now that girl was saying right things, but that girl was not Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered. She was demon-possessed. And there she is controlled by a false power and an evil power. But here are two men, Paul and Silas, who are dominated, energized, controlled by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that's needed in soul winning, I believe today, more than anything else in the world. The Holy Spirit gives power. You know, soul winning is not really easy. David, you know, was a harp player when you first are introduced to him. But after a while, there was a valley and a giant and a work to be done that only God could energize him to do. That work of soul winning is a matter of going into the valley and capturing people for Christ. And it can only be done through the power and energy of the Holy Spirit of God. At the funeral of Dwight L. Moody, Dr. C.I. Schofield spoke these words. He referred to the verse, Micah 3:8, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and said, doubtless this unlettered New England country boy became what he was by the grace of God. The secrets of D.L. Moody's power were, and he said, first, in a definite experience of Christ's saving grace, he had passed out of death into life, and he knew it. Secondly, Mr. Moody believed in the divine authority of the Scriptures. The Bible was to him the voice of God, and he made it resound as such in the consciousness of men. Thirdly, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he knew it. It was to him as definite as an experience as his conversion. And he gave other reasons why D.L. Moody knew power to get people for Christ. I think the word baptism of the Holy Spirit, as used by Dr. Schofield, needs some explanation. But he's talking about the power, the filling, the ministry, the energy of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. Mark my word, because it is God's word, that there can be no effective soul-winning ministry without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives wisdom. It takes wisdom to lead people to Christ. I went calling one night with a man some years ago, and the television was on. Now remember, this is somebody else's home, not his. He said, turn that thing off. And they did. And they turned him off too at the same time. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom as to how to reach people and what to say. The Holy Spirit of God stresses in this chapter and in other passages in the Bible the value of one soul. Nicodemus was handpicked. Jesus won them one by one. Matthew, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, maniac of Gadara. And here God calls a man. The Spirit of God said, leave this citywide revival in Samaria and go down that road that leads from Samaria down toward the Red Sea, a desert, dangerous, destitute place. Why? There's one man there. I want you, the Spirit of God, wants you to lead one man to Christ down in that desert region. My friends, I would say to you today, no one on this earth could ever describe the value of one soul. And the Holy Spirit of God stresses the value of a soul. A man told me years ago of a revival meeting that he held, and a six-year-old girl was saved many, many years ago. He said that 20 years later, in preaching in a place, a young lady came up to him and said, "You won't remember me." And he said, "No, I don't." She said, "I was saved when I was 6 years old. I was the only convert in a town where you came and preached for a week." She said, "I'm now 26 years of age. I've graduated from a Christian school and already spent one term on the field where many people are being saved." And that preacher said, "Thank God for one soul." The Holy Spirit of God stresses the power, the wisdom, and the value of a soul. Shall we just pray? Now, Father, we pray this morning, Thou will help us all to think clearly about the tremendous need of that ministry, that power, that energy in our life if we're to get people saved. May we move out all that grieves, displeases Thee, that our temples may be filled with Your holy presence for Jesus' sake. Amen.
On today's Chapel Hour, you heard a message by Dr. Tom Malone, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan.
vassals and a world in need. Loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see, there are many.